And welcome into the Tuesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexrod, happy Tuesday to you. What's going on? How we doing?
Doing okay. You know, getting early morning Instagram videos from Katie on various foods that are continuing to be recalled. So got, during a break here, got a few things to take out of the freezer, make sure to throw away. Because, you know, those Outshine popsicles don't want to bite in any glass or anything. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. Got to avoid those.
Yeah, everybody make sure you're paying attention to the recalls. There's a lot of them.
You know, this is another example of, you know, people have talked about, you know, White Castle. Don't see anything there getting recalled, you know.
That's right.
Just gotta pick and choose where we spend our money nowadays, you know. Pick and choose wisely.
Beef Mexi-Melts, never done me wrong.
Never had any problems. Ian, how we doing? Good morning. What's going on?
Good morning. Doing just fine, thanks. There's something I'd like to bring up that I came to my attention over the weekend. Nothing major. However, we've talked about soccer a lot this summer and the youth of America and how perhaps maybe, you know, the World Cup could give us a little boost.
Sure.
Apparently, though, the flopping has infiltrated the youth of America. Yes. Where during recess now, the kids are flopping during recess while they're playing soccer, causing teachers to go over there to check on them for an extended period of time. You know, acting as if they are very injured or very hurt, and therefore, the teacher or whoever's watching must go check on the child during recess to make sure there's no actual real injury, and then they proceed to continue playing. So, you know, just a little FYI out there, youth of America and soccer, you know, a little bit of flopping kind of infiltrating. So, you know, just a little PSA.
It's not good, man. Not good. Joe, the World Cup having a negative influence on the youth of America.
Yeah, that's not great. A kid writhing in pain on the ground, you know, like the teachers are going to flock, right? They're going to be running. And it's like, oh, no, just what I saw in the World Cup.
And it's like, okay, if you're going to continue to make us walk over there to check on you to make sure you're okay, we will have to stop the game. So, you know.
Well, that's good. Give them some consequences so we can get rid of this stuff. God, if you could just get rid of that from soccer, I'd really have no complaints.
Same.
About soccer.
But, boy, is it prevalent. We got to get something done about that. Good grief. Hey, how do you think Jed York's doing this morning, Joe?
Good. I don't know. Was he trying to find Eminem's mom? Like, what was going on here? Like,
for those who missed it, San Francisco 49ers owner Jed York arrested on misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct and possessing criminal tools. He was in East Palestine, Ohio, I think at a trailer park where he was engaging, allegedly, and some illicit activity going over there with may or may not have involved prostitution. So, I don't know, interesting time for the 49ers. You had all the weird Kyle Shanahan stuff of, like, you know, the car wreck and, like, the media and, I don't know, all that stuff going on. Of course, there's a substation that we've talked about 100 times in the last 3 weeks, and now you got Jed York over there in Ohio doing nefarious activities.
Yeah. By the way, the criminal tools. I guess that's the phone.
Sure.
Because I guess that's where he, you know, like, found out that he should go to the trailer park in Ohio and meet someone. I guess.
Sure.
Sure. Hey. I think that the Cleveland Browns owe him a debt of gratitude. It's like not the most controversial ownership situation in Ohio right now.
No.
NFL. How about that?
Whatever it takes to help out Jimmy Haslam, you know? Good grief.
Because there is a lot. Yeah, I mean, great stuff, NFL. Great stuff. There is a lot of Speculation, and I have, I mean, this is one for Charles later this week. But there's a lot of speculation, and people are parsing the presser from Todd Monken and all this stuff. That if you listen to what he said, this is purely like this is clearly ownership that's making him start Deshaun Watson. Which I mean, I just like I guess my question would be why. Like, why would that be? Why would ownership be like, no matter what, I don't care. I don't care about the football product. No, we are starting Deshaun, period. Like, why would that be?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if I was in ownership there, I mean, I'd probably have the complete opposite approach of if you start Deshaun Watson, I may fire you.
Yeah,
So
exactly. Oh,
I
he's
could
still
not tell you.
here? Yeah. It doesn't. I mean, it really doesn't make any sense. I mean, the only thing that makes sense, I think, is that Deshaun Watson on a daily basis has been a lot better than Shedeur Sanders. Todd Monken thinks he has a better chance of winning with him and also is dumb and doesn't like pay attention to things people say or like how like he's before he coaches his first game as a Browns coach, he is a hated Browns coach.
Well, Deshaun Watson did apologize yesterday, Joe, though, so that was good to
Did he?
see. Yeah,
Did he
he
apologize?
hopped up there. He said he took responsibility. That's what he said. He's taking responsibility. You know, he's an emotional time for him after the game the other day. We got booed, and he wants to move forward. I think he said that 40 times and just focus on football. But it did look like a nice, prepared Cleveland Browns PR statement that he got up there and started rattling off yesterday. Good stuff.
He did, and he kept talking and talking, and I don't think anybody got a question. And yeah, it was just a lot of repetitive, saying the same stuff over and over. I didn't really feel like it was,
Genuine.
or really like technically an apology. But you're right. He said, I guess he did say responsibility. It's just, man, it's what a ride. What a ride it's going to be in Cleveland again,
Yeah.
and San Fran.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fun stuff going on out there.
Robert
Is
Kraft is like, whoo, thank you.
Shadur starting by week three? Is Deshaun
Is that
Watson the
is
starting quarterback by the time they go back home in week three?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. Like, what if Deshaun Watson balls out and they're 2-0? And does he come
Well,
back like do
I
the
guess he's a
fans like
starter.
greet does a do the fans greet him with like,
Standing O.
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I will say, I guess all of this has made me more interested in watching some Cleveland Browns football than usual. So,
I'm glad
I
it
guess.
has you. I got an anticipation that he's just going to be terrible. I think they have Jacksonville and, if memory serves me correctly, Tampa Bay.
Correct.
Their first two games.
Couple of hot
So,
Florida trips early on
yeah,
there,
it's going
huh?
to be a little steam. That Milky Pool is going to be flowing week one down there. So, got to be prepared for that. But
Some
yeah,
cottage
it's going to
cheese.
be hot. I don't know how they're going to deal with that. And I think they'll be 0-2 Rex Road heading back to Cleveland. That is my official prediction. 0-2.
Yeah, and so it's so then that kicks in your question, which is a great one. Like, I mean, if you're willing to make this decision the day after that freaking press conference, then I guess you're just gonna let's go, Deshaun. We're good. Let's keep going, buddy. I don't know, but yeah, that would seem to be like about the right time to make a change is before you trot him out in front of the home fans. I mean, my goodness. Like, what a scene. What an 0-2 Browns team,
Well,
with him at quarterback coming into home for the. I mean, if there's ever a time to do a prop bet on defensive player introductions with a team,
oh man.
that would be the one.
I mean, the odds would be -300,000.
It doesn't matter that Myles Garrett's gone.
Yeah,
Whatever,
pick
man.
anybody, it doesn't matter. I mean, Orlovsky hopped on ESPN yesterday and basically said, "Hey, Cleveland fans, don't go to games. Like, if this is the decision that they're going to make, do not show up to the game." Which I don't know that I've ever heard Orlovsky say something like that.
No, it was Orlovsky's got some takes,
He
man.
does.
But I don't disagree with him. I mean, I really don't disagree with what he's saying about Cam. I don't disagree on this. It's like this is just such a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face to like logic, though. Not even just Browns fans. It's just like to people who like logic and like trying to use their brains in a reasonable way. It's incredible.
My advice would be to just leave the city. You know, somebody who's there not that long ago, it kind of sucks. I'd get out of there. That'd be my advice.
Man, now you're just going right for the city. Just ripping the
heart
out.
I figured while we were here, you know, we just really dive in there to that discussion.
South Cleveland's nice.
North Cleveland's nice. And Lake. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We got a lot going on the program today. Ben McKee from Go Vols 24/7 will be with us at 7 o'clock. We will get into Faison Brandon as the starting quarterback for the Vols with him coming up a little bit later in the show. But Rex Road has some problems with people on our station, and you're going to hear about them coming up next. We'll do it. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Preseason game number 2 wrapped up for the Titans. We got one more in the preseason coming up. And then we move on to regular season football and the most highly anticipated battle between two bad teams that I've seen in a long time. The Titans and the Jets coming up in week 1 to begin the regular season. But we got to get there first, Joe. It's still a long time between now and week 1 coming up. Lots of preseason football and practices to walk through here. And, you know, we had a lot of discussion on the show yesterday. We appreciate everybody's participation in the aftermath of the Titans' big win on Sunday against the Seahawks. I was reading Blake Bedingfield's kind of write-up of what he saw and took away from at paulkuharski.com. Some very interesting stuff that we'll get into on that front. But, Joe, do we have some problems with people at our station? Are we being too dismissive at this station of preseason football?
Well, first of all, I may have, this may have been sold poorly, you know, on the grid. I'm not going to call, you know, who do we feel comfortable calling out by name at this station?
Big Joe
for sure.
Vingan.
Yeah. Vingan. I'm good with DVD.
Call Lyman out.
It was a conversation on Lyman's show.
Here we go.
With the idea of, it's just the idea of like every, like this can all be correct. This is all correctable. I just think the use of the word correctable was wrong. Okay. So correctable, some things are correctable. That would be like, so for example, the bust on the coverage with Arroyo getting the touchdown. I mean, again, I think it was Winston. It was either him or the corner on that side. One of them, that's your guy, and you just let him go, right? Okay, that's correctable. That's just a mistake. It's a schematic mistake, mental error, you know. I mean, I think you can correct a lot of things. You can correct run fits. But there are some things. So the idea, like all this stuff, like with Cam, it is correctable. Or some of these other things where, like, you know, like if you can't block someone, like I don't think Austin Deculus is like it's correctable to become a good pass protector in the NFL. Okay. He's in the league, which is hard enough as it is to be in the league.
Sure.
But like some people just aren't good enough. And, you know, the whole thing with Cam is, is it correctable? Like, you know, very rarely have we seen in NFL history someone dramatically change the ability. Actually, Vingan did a good job of talking about this yesterday. He's talking about, you know, we can sit here and talk about, you know, Cam Ward wants it so bad. He works. So there's no way he's going to fail because he wants it and he works hard and he's about the right things. And that's fine. But I mean, like there's plenty of backups in this league who are about the right things and work hard and want it. And they just aren't good enough.
Like Will Levis.
Yeah. I mean, I think Will Levis. Yeah. I mean, I think he puts in the work and right all that stuff. There's plenty of you not only have to have all those intangibles, which I think everybody would agree Cam has those, and yeah, this is mostly about Cam because the things that are going on with him were grouped into correctable, like some of these mistakes with the defense. It's like no, like the whole question is, can he find it? Can he, you know, Willie talked about it too. So basically I'm using this to praise DVD, but like Willie talked about, you can see someone in college or high school or whatever on the mound, and man, that kid throws 97, you know, that kid throws 97 with movement, whatever it is, you know, man, that's a big time arm, but then it's like, can he pitch, you know, then you get to, at the very highest level, you also need to be so precise and you need to be so consistent with your muscle memory and just things that some people can do with their bodies and some people can't, no matter how bad they want it. So that's just my point is like the cam stuff is not like, oh, this is, this is no big deal. It's just go back to the drawing board and you'll get it fixed. I don't know. We don't know if he's good enough to do all the things you have to do at the highest level as a quarterback. So I didn't want to rip anyone.
So Rex Rhodes calling out Jake Lyman, his show, praising DVD on the program here today. Anything you'd like to say on Chase and Big Joe's behalf?
I mean, I prefer to rip them if I get a chance. It was, I mean, it was Connor who was making this point.
Connor,
Connor, of course, Connor Newt was making this point. And again, I was just listening, like, because he was saying, this is correctable, this is correctable, this is correctable. I'm like, well, yes, some of those, yeah, yes, the mental errors, the, no question, the cam stuff, like this is the entire question of the city, right? It's not just like, oh, that's correctable. It's like, Kent, he's spent, we're into years. It's going to be years of trying to figure out if he can get it. And again, then it gets into, okay, but what is it? Is it just physical ability? Is it just like he just can't, he's just going to miss too many throws? And so that's just, you're just not going to be able to have enough success. How much does scheme play into it? How much does the processing, pre-snap, post-snap, the comfort, the protection, all, the million factors, which some people view as excuses for quarterbacks, but it's true. I mean, it is a team game, but some of the fundamental things that we don't know yet and right now aren't looking great might not be correctable.
Well, and to that point, I mentioned Blake Bedingfield. He said a couple interesting things at paulkuharski.com about Ward, his performance throughout the preseason, but most recently in the game against Seattle. And one of the big concerns is, I mean, this is not, something that we've not talked about, but Ward is struggling with being on time and accurate, even with simple passing concepts, is what Blake Bedingfield had to say. And he goes on, he talks about Ward being late, getting the ball out too often, not putting the ball exactly where it needs to be in terms of putting his receivers in the best places to make plays after they make the catch. And he started talking about like Drew Lock. In this piece of Drew Lock, obviously came in, played well against the Titans starters. Lock, has been in the league for a while at this point. He's 29 years old and he's starting to figure some stuff out. I've heard some of this yesterday that this is an excuse, Joe, that I just have no time for whatsoever. Like I've seen some of this been from Titans fans, some that I've heard around town of, well, I mean, of course Drew Lock looks better than Cam Ward does right now. He's been in the league forever. It's like, well, you drafted Cam Ward with the first overall pick. I'm sorry. Cam Ward should look better than Drew Lock. I don't care how long Drew Lock's been in the league. I'm sorry. Like, he should look better than Drew Lock. So, miss me with the, hey, Drew Lock's been in the league for 7 years or whatever it's been. He should look better than Cam Ward. No, he shouldn't. That's not why you draft somebody number one overall.
I agree. I also flip around and like, I don't want to put this is a preseason games where you put too much into like Curtis Rourke looks way better than Cam. It's like, but yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's, Drew, we're talking about pick one of the draft for the second rounder. And that's another thing too, first of all, I didn't hate Cam in this particular game. So isolate this game. I thought, there's some plays that, I think a couple people could have made for him that would have made it look better. It was okay. Not inspiring, not amazing. It was okay. It was better than the first game. But like, let's also not pretend like we're freaking out about preseason game two, or we're freaking out about this last week. This is an entire, from draft day to now, this is an entire body of work.
Yep.
And the body of work is not good enough. Did he get better as a rookie? It did. 10 touchdowns to one pick in the second half of them. I mean, that's good. There was also still plenty left to be desired in that stretch too. Like, so far, the entire body of work is not that of a number one overall pick. It's also complicated by the general putridness of this team. And
well,
that's where it gets difficult.
That's where it gets difficult. And I would also say, the entire body work, to your point, has not been good enough. I need to see, and this is kind of similar to the, you know, kind of the plea I had with Cam Ward a couple weeks ago about the practice part of this, right? I need to see really, really good way more often, right? Like, very rarely in this league, Joe, is quarterback growth and development just completely linear, right? Like, somebody has a starting point, and then, you know, each day that goes by, each game that goes by, it's just automatically better every time.
1% better. Yeah. 1% better.
You know, people say that stuff, and it's just not reality. So I understand all that. But, like, I think when Cam Ward was drafted, regardless of what you think about them drafting him, right? I mean, we can relitigate that all we want to, but they drafted him. And one of the things we talked about at the time was, all right, well, there's some natural concern about accuracy, some of these other things we talked about with him after being drafted, but he'll make some big plays, right? Like, he'll make, and we saw some of it last year. We didn't see a lot of it, and we have not seen any of it so far in the preseason games. I need to start seeing, like, you know, some big plays and some wow moments, and so, you know, it, and again, it doesn't have to be every time, and the success or failure of him at quarterback, I don't even know if it's necessarily going to be determined by the wow plays. It's probably going to be, can you hit the mundane plays with any sort of regularity over and over and over again? But while all that's been going on, and we have those concerns about not hitting those plays with regularity, there's also not any wow plays happening right now, Joe. It's not a great combination.
Yeah, like I guess the helm play was one of those extend, and then you make a play. But yeah, no, for sure. And what you want is staying ahead of the chains, taking the quick stuff, which he's doing, you know. So I mean, there's a lot of quick stuff, but then, you know, on a second and three, you know, you hit someone, you know, whatever, with play action, and you hit a shot, and you show off that arm talent, you know, as opposed to like desperation moments, which speaks probably some again to quality of team to help make that happen. But you're right, like. The whole, I mean, I heard, again, DVD, TD was on there, and Willie asked him, like, what's the best thing about him? And he said, it is those plays. It's those off-schedule plays. And it's like, you know, we've seen a couple, right? We've seen a couple of those. And they were last year. There's like, whoa, okay, there it is. But, yeah, you're seeing very little of that. You're seeing more of the alarming stuff. And for the record, I did not rip Connor Newt.
Rexrode versus Connor Newt. We'll take your reaction to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rexrode, 1025 the game. We'll have Ben McKee from Go Balls 24/7 coming up in about 30 minutes at 7 o'clock. We'll get into Faison Brandon, named the starting quarterback by Tennessee, with him. So looking forward to that coming up here in just a few minutes on the show. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. George in Murfreesboro in the YouTube chat says, so the best thing about Cam is the off-script scramble plays that he's able to extend that he rarely makes. This is from George from Murfreesboro in the YouTube chat. There is that.
Yeah.
I don't want to downplay it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Jump in real fast on that. Yeah, and look, like, you don't, like, they're not going to be a lot, right? I mean, if you want to make a comparison, I've made the comparison before, like, there's a Brett Favre element to it. Like, if you watch Brett Favre back in the day, it's not like he was making those every other series, but he was, in the meantime, doing the regular stuff well. Now, Brett Favre would also throw the death pick, man. He would throw the death pick. But he would do in the right. So if Cam... Like the frequency of these plays, yeah, you'd want them a little bit more, but you're not going to have it all the time.
No.
But what you want is like for the normal stuff to be better so that you can have more opportunities, more drives, more points, and more putting the defense in conflict and having the defense off balance so he can hit them with those plays, right? Like the mundane has to get better. And if that's the case, then I think those plays could be sprinkled in effectively.
Well, then, you know, obviously Blake Bedingfield, much more seasoned in professional football than you and me. But, I mean, I don't think it's hard to see. Like, he talks about Ward struggling being on time and accurate even with simple passing concepts. Okay, well, why is that? Why is that happening? Is that just going to change when the regular season comes about? You know, is it still the system that he's getting used to? You know, by the time we get into October, November, how much different does all that look, not only with him but with the entire offense? Like, there's a lot of things we don't know yet. But, it's definitely not what you want to be talking about with your second-year quarterback coming into this year, about struggling, being on time and accurate with simple passing concepts. I mean, look, we played the comments yesterday from Orlovsky on Get Up. I mean, there's clearly some concern there when he watches the tape. You know, not to invoke our friend Stilly, but he did have a stat yesterday that was interesting, and depending on how much you value PFF, I mean, he's, you know, it's a preseason sample size, so you have to keep that in mind. But he threw it out there. Like, he's 102nd out of 104 quarterbacks who have played in the preseason, passing grade of 29.6 on PFF. So, you know, by itself, any one of those things you want to throw out there, you could dismiss as, well, it's preseason, whatever. When you factor in all of those things together about, you know, watching the tape, Orlovsky's clearly concerned, you know, betting field, the numbers, what PFF says. I mean, it all adds up to, Joe, it hasn't been very good, and it's got to get a whole lot better if the Titans are going to make the progress this year that people want them to make.
Yeah, and I put a lot more stock in. I mean, it's just like a stat like that, you know. I mean, it sounds terrible. I put more stock in what we see in that really limited time on the field so far, which, again, speaks for itself to me, you know. Really bad and then okay in two glimpses, and then you have the practice stuff you can throw in and all that, and we'll have the Bears this week, and we'll see, oh, was it a good day against the Bears or a bad day, and then we'll have the game, and hopefully Sala will give us a half of starters, and it'll be the most interesting preseason game yet. But I put more stock in that. You know, speaking of invoking Mr. Hot Take, I mean, Jared's over on the YouTube chat talking about, is he the actual Shador? Apparently this is, I don't really understand that. Like, the Shador stuff is like, people couldn't stand the kid. They couldn't stand him. And, the stuff at the combine, it was just like, he knows he's going to get taken in the top 10. Like, just went about that whole process terribly. And Cam, like, everybody loved Cam, and everybody still does. But as we've talked about, so no, I mean, that's a stupid comparison. I mean, I don't understand why that would even come up, but as we've talked about, there's a limitation to, you know, I heard Big Joe. I feel like I'm citing all of our shows. I heard Big Joe, and I agree with him yesterday. Like, oh, I don't want to hear first in the building, you know, but that's what you're going to hear on preseason broadcasts, right? You're going to hear every positive talking point of every team, no matter how crappy the team is. So it's first in the building, and he's, that's great. That's what you want to hear. That's what you want to be reality. But at some point, it's just not enough. I mean, it's the hardest. There's a reason that these quarterbacks are paid so much.
Well,
because this is the ultimate job in sports in America, and it is the hardest job in sports in America.
Oh, and I think I said this back in minicamp, you know, and maybe this was unfair to Sala at the time, but I think at the time Sala was asked about, you know, why he thinks Cam Ward is going to work out or something in that area. And he started talking about, you know, the work ethic that he has, the attitude, the intangibles, all these things. And, you know, he's not that different from a lot of football coaches when they get asked things like that. But we're moving into the time, Joe, where in year number two, as we get rolling here in the regular season, you know, asking that same question at some point, pretty quickly into the answer needs to be, well, this skill set I see here on the field, like, his accuracy gives us a chance to win, or his ability to read and understand the defense and know where to go with the football, or change us, getting us out of something that's a horrible play, getting us into a better one at the line of scrimmage. Like, there's too much intangible when it comes to discussing the positives with him, and I need more tangible moving forward.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. I feel like I need to just keep arguing with Jared. Jared Springle says, I feel like this staff and the previous one are afraid of holding Ward accountable for anything he does. I think people generally handle quarterbacks with kid gloves. It's like goalies in the NHL, Robbie, right? A little bit like that. The comparison of QB and goalie is imperfect in a lot of ways. In some ways it definitely works. in a particular city. You know, that's like the headlining job. And but I think, you know how it is. Obviously, we've talked about this so many times. You know, it's like the goalie can have a crap night, but it was everybody else's fault, right?
Yeah.
That guy's so important. You don't want to mess with that guy's mental. And, you know, and what would it help if you're like, yeah, he sucked? Or you know, I mean, I know DeBoer is fine with doing that stuff. But, you know, like, so if this staff was like, you know, publicly ripping Cam, if they're screaming at him, like, does that help? Like, the question is, like, can you do it? It is in him. Can he physically do this at a high enough level? I promise you, the quote-unquote holding him accountable does not affect that.
Well, by the way, like, all of these people's jobs pretty much is tied to his success, right? I mean, is there, I guess, a scenario where Ward doesn't end up working out and Borgonzi's been so good at identifying everything else that he could hang around and hold on to his job? I guess there's a scenario. Like, is there a scenario where Ward doesn't work out, but the Titans are just a well-oiled machine and they're coached up so well that it's like, hey, Robert Saleh needs to be here, but we got to go find another quarterback? I mean, I guess there's a chance that could happen. But the probability is, if Ward doesn't work out, probably means the Titans aren't going to be very good, and all these people's jobs is going to be tied to that. So the fact is, like, they all know that. Like, Borgonzi, when you make a decision to draft somebody at number one overall, you know that, like it or not, especially in this organization, you're likely tying your future to the success or failure of that player. You know, Saleh identified this job. One of the things he first started talking about when he took the job was Ward was a big reason why he took it. Okay. So
yeah,
there's a lot riding on this for everybody involved. And I just say that to say, you're not going to see them, or really any head coach / general manager in the league, come out and like publicly start ripping their quarterback. Now, there are ways to hold the quarterback accountable. I guess I'd love to know, like, what does holding the quarterback accountable mean to you? Like,
yeah, again, it's like, can you do this very difficult job with all these things that you're balancing that's so delicate, as opposed to, you know, if you're a linebacker who's not fitting correctly or not, you know, not playing with the proper physicality or something like that. That's, you know what I mean? It's just such a different thing. Quarterback is not that.
Well, and how are you holding, like, Ward hasn't been accurate, right? So, like, if you
throw it to the right,
yeah, like, do you think if you just lock him in the room and say, hey, I need you to be accurate, that's going to work? Like, is that going to help? Like, I just think there's, people say that stuff all the time. Well, you got to hold so-and-so accountable. Oh, okay, well, what does that mean? Right? Like, how do you do that with a quarterback?
Well, yeah, it was like when Tannehill came in, it was like, oh, good, now Marcus will be pushed and he'll be better because he's worried about his job. It's like, well, or he may not be good enough, you know, and which he wasn't, and then Tannehill took the job. But, like, you brought in Tannehill as a possible backup, as a possible next step, not like, let's push Marcus and he'll play better. It just doesn't really work that way. Sorry about the voice, but it's 6:43.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Cam Ward. Plus,
there are a lot of thoughts.
Let me tell you this. We'll get to some of those coming up next. Plus, a call to action of sorts that we have for a resident of East Tennessee at the moment. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of thoughts on the Cam Ward front. Ed says, what we are experiencing now is a byproduct of not pulling the plug on Callahan a year earlier. We now have to watch Cam have a rookie season all over again. Not an excuse, but it's a complete reboot for Cam. I understand the thought on that, Joe, but, I mean, look, Callahan or not, clearly it was a horrible situation for Cam last year. He also played 17 games, okay? So, like, there is – I don't buy the – well, it's a complete reboot for him. He played. Like, he was on the field for 17 games. Now, was he well coached for 17 games? No. Did he have good teammates and a good supporting cast and really was in any position to be successful at all? No. But he still did play. Like, this is not some rookie year for him. Like, he should be further ahead than he is right now.
Yeah, sounds like a little bit of an excuse, Ed. Sorry. Dennis says, you know your team doesn't have a good quarterback when it's news if he had a good practice. A good quarterback having a good week of practice isn't even talked about. Yeah, well, we're in the stage of, is he good? Please show me something good. Or some people are like, out on him. And so it's like, see, there you go. He's bad. I mean, but yes, we are absolutely in the phase of like his every practice rep is larger than life.
Well, I was thinking about that the other day because, like, you know, once Tannehill had come in, like, I don't remember, with the exception of, like, I don't remember if it was 2021 or 2022, with the exception of, like, you know, freaking out over, like, the interceptions that he threw in training camp, I don't really remember ever talking about Tannehill's practice, right? Like, I was, you know, I'm a Packers guy. I couldn't tell you one detail from a Jordan Love practice this year. Not one. Like, no, I don't think anybody ever pays attention to it.
But I'm glad you brought that up because I do remember going back before he started. We saw that he was good. I remember you telling me, like, they're saying he looks really way better in practice, but who knows? Because we had seen him on the field and he had stunk, right? I do remember that. There was reports like, okay, you could see it in practice. And then I think that was before the year where they won in Dallas and everything. I think that's right. So there's an example of, like, I mean, practice, like, matters. Like, you're playing the same game. You're running the same plays. Like, it's just that, you know. There's a limitation. And then once you get to a certain point when we know what you are as a player, then we no longer care about practice.
Yeah, that's the thing. I guess that's probably the thing that stood out the most is I could not tell you as a Packers fan the last time somebody in Packers media or like a fan base brought up a Jordan Love practice.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, once you have an established quarterback, I think that just becomes like, don't even play him in practice. Maybe let's see if he can, like, throw the ball in the tire, you know.
Like, do Bills fans talk about Josh Allen's practice?
Yeah, no, of course not. Yeah, the quarterbacks that are known commodities practice. But once, you know, in a situation like this, everybody's, you know, trying to find every scrap of information. And in a lot of cases, it's people who want to confirm their biases. The Cam dudes want anything positive and want the negative stuff to not mean anything. And the what are you doings are – like, here you go. Let's talk about his, you know, his QBR in two preseason games in a quarter of each game.
Moving closer to the psych ward?
Well,
psych ward getting more populated?
I think we've got some psych warders. I mean, someone in the YouTube chat is saying Wyatt's saying Trubisky will be the starter by week 7. If Trubisky is starting for this team by week 7 and it's not an injury, Cam Ward's performance will have been in those 6 weeks like twice as bad as we could ever imagine.
Agreed. Yeah.
In week 7, dude. Yeah. So these guys are like, yeah, man, we're good. Our entire future. Again, these guys, it's really Borgonzi. You know, like everything's tied to Cam, the entire organization pretty much on his shoulders. But let's go to Mitch, week 7. Yeah. That would be like, it's unfathomable, honestly, how bad Cam would have to be for that to happen. He's getting the season.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Albert to the program. Albert, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Love your show. Hey, have you guys considered that since the previous regime was such a disaster, is it possible that, in theory, this is really his rookie year? I mean, he's going to have a better team around him, but, I mean, just because you get a driver's license doesn't mean you know how to drive. Just because you're in the NFL doesn't mean you know how to be a quarterback. You got to learn. So just wanted to get some comments on that. Is it possible that this is really his rookie year and this he's actually getting the structure and support he needs now?
Thanks, Albert. Appreciate it. I mean, we kind of just brought that up.
Did we not just talk about this?
Like, no, I don't buy that to answer your question.
Thanks for the call, but no.
Yeah, I mean, it feels to me like that's a nice way to say, yeah, well, let's try to absolve him of any responsibility. Like, you know, I'm not saying the situation was great for him last year. And look, you're talking to somebody that wanted to get rid of Brian Callahan after the first year. And I'm not saying that this is exactly why, but it was pretty clear that he was a dope after his first year. And then they waited until 6 games into the second year or whatever it was. But no, like I do find value in playing games in the NFL. So no, like I'm not treating this as if this is some rookie year for Cam Ward. I mean, the bottom line is, regardless of where you are on Cam Ward, which you know I would still put myself in the Cambivalent category, Joe. If there's still a lot that's going to be found out, I think this year, it's got to get way better than it looks right now in the game. There's no question about that. It's got to get way better.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, it's not his rookie year. Now, some organizations would have made this his rookie year.
Yes.
Ideally, this would be his rookie year. He'd have that year. But it doesn't happen that often in the NFL. When it has happened in recent history, it's generally been a good thing. But that's not what happened. So, you know, the whole did you ruin them? Did he get ruined? I don't buy. I think that can happen. I've said this before. I think the Lions have ruined quarterbacks, but a lot of that is getting them hurt over and over again. And I think Mariota, I do. I think that Mariota's career changed for the worse when he broke his leg at the end of his second season. I'm not saying that he was going to continue on that trajectory and be different. I mean, I think at some point you kind of realize this, his level is here. It's just not quite good enough. But I do think that that was a big deal for him. I think that Cam didn't get ruined by last year. It wasn't great. I think his intangibles are really good, and he keeps fighting, and that is one of the biggest reasons for hope, but it just has limitations. You know, it doesn't mean that he can do the things that you need to do. I will say, though, that I don't consider this a rookie year. I do consider this, with Dable as his OC, a good test. I think the O-line is better. I'm definitely feeling better about them than I did 2 weeks ago. I think the run game's going to be pretty good. His receivers are pretty good, and he has Brian Dable. So I think we're going to get a real look at Cam Ward this year and be able to isolate it and say, okay, here he is he's on the rise. You can see it. Or, yeah, it's just a lot of things have gotten better, and I'm not saying the O-line's going to be great, but it's better, I think, to the point where he can do his job. And if he can't progress with all these things around him better, then I think you start to look at it and say, it's just not good enough.
All right, Joe, real quickly before we get to Ben McKee here in about 30 seconds. You got all this crap going on in the NFL of guys leaving the NFL, heading back to college football. I mean, Lane Kiffin's like having a parade out there. He's just excited about it. Like, if you're Arian Carter in Tennessee, like, how do you not get with a lawyer and say, hey, we're suing this two-game suspension that the NCAA has laid down? With all this stuff going on, like, how do you not do that if you're Carter?
Yeah, I want him to. One thing I've heard is that, like, the family is like, we don't want to, cause this thing and whatever. And it's just like, I get it, man, but like, everybody's suing, everybody's doing it. Get out there and sue, But yeah, like, I feel like, the NCAA changed an eligibility ruling on a Michigan State receiver yesterday. And it's not the same thing as Carter's thing, but it almost feels like a concession because of what's going on. I just feel like, and again, I'm talking about a judge. That's not, but the NCAA should make this right. But I guess they do have other stuff going on right now. I'd love to see it, because I feel like it's such a shame that he's going to miss time when we have this going on. Another point to make about all this, I do think some people are missing, because look, who knows? I've seen a lot of people say, like Danny Cannell, who I don't know that he really keeps up with much of sports, but like, this is opening the floodgates, and now it's just going to be, I mean, these are specific lawsuits about the 2022 and the 5 for 5 rule. These are 2022. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is a specific thing. This should not happen next year. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, I can tell you with absolute certainty, we're done. Everything's good now. But these lawsuits getting these guys in right now are specific to the 5 for 5 rule, specific to the 2022 class, and should end after this year. So I think that is being missed. It doesn't make them any less embarrassing or absurd.
Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7 will be with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.